likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us. Tell somebody, somebody's praying for you. It literally said, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us. Means he's praying for you with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the heart knows the mind of the Spirit, knows the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Talking about the Holy Spirit. Read it again. Now he who searches the hearts knows the mind of the Spirit is, knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know all things work together for good to those who love God, those who are the called according to his purpose. Verse 29, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Father, we thank you for your words this morning. God, as we set our hearts sail to hear from heaven, we just ask that you would speak to your people, strengthen their foundation, oh God. Father, as we transition and we shift over to the other side, as we prepare our hearts, even on today, God, we just pray that you begin to solidify our confidence in who we are in you and who you are in us. And we thank you for that now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I want to minister a message. I was going to call it I Got Five on It, but I think I used that title before. But I believe we're going to use the title this morning, Five Stones. Five Stones. And tell your neighbor, say, we got five stones. And as we look and we begin to prepare for really going into what I believe is going to be an amazing, amazing year that God has lined up for your life, I believe as he's taken me over to the book of Romans to share what he has for us this morning, I believe the book of Romans is an amazing book. And as I looked at that, the Lord began to give me something out of that. And I don't know if you know, but anyone who knows the book of Romans is, if you ever read it, it's a good place to read if you're any level in your walk with Christ. If you're a new beginner, Romans gets you right. You could tell anybody who, you know, is a brand new Christian, when they say where to read, go to read the book of Romans, because Romans will tell you everything you need to know about your Savior. People call it Paul's masterpiece, where he wrote about Jesus and he wrote about his grace, his love, his goodness. He began to put everything in place. And I believe God has given us a word out of the book of Romans, because as I was preparing my heart, you know, God just began, church, let me put it this way. God began to just stir in me about 2020. Let me just shift it for a minute. And I believe that in the book of Romans, he has some confidence for us this morning. Because that's one thing I believe many of us need coming out of 19, going into 20, you need to build your confidence back up. You need to know that if God be for you, come on somebody. If God be for you, it don't matter what happens and what has happened, everything's going to be all right going forward. And when we look at the book of Romans, matter of fact, it's interesting because in Romans chapter 8, let me tell you something. Romans chapter 8, it's interesting, the book of Romans, as God gives me this to just give us great confidence. Romans chapter 8, let me tell you something. If you're a preacher and you can't preach Romans chapter 8, you ain't a preacher. Because Romans 8 is the book of Romans is amazing, but Romans 8 is your explosion chapter. You can preach the paint off the wall with Romans chapter 8. And if you can't preach Romans 8, you don't have no oil on your life. Come on, somebody. I mean, because when you look at it, scripture's in there like we just read, where it literally just said, if God be for us. Look at that. Y'all just got excited and I didn't even say nothing. You can just preach that with your eyes closed. If God be for us. And the church, it just does something on the inside. Come on, somebody. And if you can't do if God be for us, come on, if you can't preach that, there's something wrong right there. And it lets us know that, I mean, all throughout it, it starts, look at that, therefore there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And the book of Romans is so amazing because it gives you so many things that give you good foundation in your walk with God. And chapter 8 is the explosion, but when you start in Romans 1, it's amazing when you walk through the book of Romans, you start in Romans chapter 1, and just a quick highlight, it basically begins to talk about how the fall of humanity in Romans 1. Let me bring you up to it. Let me show you the picture of Romans. In chapter 1, it talks about how sin entered into the world. And it talks about how humanity has been pretty much, there's depravity in humanity. There's one scripture that even says that God has given us over to a reprobate mind. I don't know if you know what that means, but a reprobate mind means you have a seared conscience, meaning you can't tell the difference between right and wrong. And I don't know if you know, but we live in a time where it seems like some people got a reprobate mind, where people just go into these mass shootings when you don't know the difference between right and wrong. Come on, somebody. That is a demonic, somebody say a demonic spirit. And then it begins to tell us that when God saw humanity in Romans 1 have a depravity type of mind, he tried to fix it. He gave us the law. Romans 2 talks about how he gave us the law to try to get the heart of men right. But God, we quickly realized that the law was weak. It couldn't save us. Because the law was a bunch of rules and regulations that people couldn't follow. That's why I always say, if you go to a church that have rules for your Christianity, you need to get up out of there as fast as you can. You know where they tell you, you can't wear this. You can't put makeup on. You can't wear this type of stuff. Let me tell you something. Run from those type of religious, demonic places as fast as you can. Come on, somebody. Because what you wear does not determine your salvation. The makeup you have on does not determine your salvation. If you have it on thick, you still can make it into heaven. Come on, somebody. What you wear is not going to cause God and the angels to be like, you can't make it in. God is not measuring what you have on. He's measuring your heart. He's measuring, did you accept Jesus Christ? Come on. Man keeps looking at how much makeup you got on. Matter of fact, if they're so worried about what you're wearing, you might want to ask them what's really going on with them. And when he saw that the law wasn't working, Romans chapter 3 introduces us to Abraham. Everybody say Abraham. And it begins to tell us about the faith walk of Abraham and how Abraham began to speak things and the power of who Abraham is. And it introduces us to the father of Abraham. And then chapter 4, it begins to tell us that he's our father. Whatever Abraham has, we can also have. And what does that mean? That in chapter 4, it talks about how Abraham began to speak things. And that means that we also can speak things. If our father can speak it, we can speak it. That's why you got to know that when you bind things with your mouth, you have the power of Father Abraham, that what you speak shall come to pass. That's why I was talking to somebody before service this morning. The woman of God, we were talking, and she was like, I'm careful with what I say. And I said, that is wise, because you have the power of Abraham inside of you. And that's why the Bible says you can speak to this mountain and it shall be removed. And you got to realize, if I tell the devil to get the hell out of my house, he's got to get the hell out of my house, meaning go back to hell. If I tell cancer, you cannot stay. Cancer's got to listen and it has to obey. When I tell my money it can't be funny in 2020, it has got to line up, because I've got the Spirit of God dwelling inside of me. Touch somebody, say, I got power in my mouth. Come on, what you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. What you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven, that we can call those things that are not as though they were. Somebody say, my mouth is a bad mamma jamma. And it begins to tell us about the faith of Abraham and how we can have that faith that it introduced us to in verse number 3. And then Romans chapter 5, I love it, because it begins to talk to us about the grace of God. It begins to talk about how we were, in chapter 1, how we were fallen humanity and we become all this depravity. Then it introduced us to this thing called grace. And begins to let us know, because of grace, we are saved. Not because of the law now, not because of the fallen humanity doesn't follow the law, but now God enters us to the grace of God. And I don't know about you, but I love the grace of God. I love to know that I don't have to run through hoops to be saved. I don't have to, speak in tongues to go to heaven, as people say. I don't have to, come on, I know churches where you got to stand in front of the people and speak in tongues in order to be a member of the church. And grace tells us that, listen, you're not saved by your works, you're saved by his works. You're not saved by what you wear. You're not saved by how well you walk the fine line. You are saved by the grace of God. And what Jesus did on Calvary is the only reason that your salvation is what it is. And then chapter 6 brings it a little bit closer, and it begins to let us know that although there's grace, it lets us know that grace is greater than sin. It says, listen, it says, where sin abounds, grace abounds much more. It lets us know that, listen, although you have grace, there's still a probability you're going to be mixed in with sin. But where there's sin, grace is stronger than sin. And this is where I get excited on the inside, because we are humanity. And even though we have the goodness of God and the Spirit of God inside of us, how many of you know you still need grace? I don't care how saved you are. You still need the grace of God every day of your life, church. You need to know that, God, I know that I love you, but I still trip up every now and then. I know that I worship every Sunday the best I can, but I still trip up every now and then. And by the grace of God in my life, God says we're saved. Sin abound, grace abounds much more. Meaning wherever he sees sin in my life, grace is much deeper than the sin I can ever find myself in. Somebody say, that's good news. That's good news. And I like it because it tells us that, listen, if you mess up, watch how it goes though, Elder. It tells us, it begins to tell us in 6 that grace is greater than sin. And then chapter 7 begins to tell you that you have struggles. It says the thing you want to do, you do not do. And the thing you do not want to do, you do. It tells us, after he tells us, that you got much more grace than you'll ever have sin. And that lets me know that I'm not the only one who has struggles. I'm not the only one who wrestles with stuff. I'm not the only one who says, God, I don't want to do it, but then I find myself still doing it. And I say, God, I want to do this, but I find myself not doing the thing I want to do. I don't know if I'm at the right church, but I know there's a few people who still walking that thing out. I know you got the oil of heaven on your life. I know we're going to fast on January 10th and all that stuff. But how many know, even after the fast, your flesh is going to wrestle? As soon as you're fasting, your flesh will wrestle. When you're not fasting, your flesh is going to wrestle. And the Bible begins to let us know that even though you have wrestling going on, God's got grace for you. Somebody say, thank God for his grace. And then watch the blow up. Watch the blow up of chapter 8. After all that stuff, Romans 8:1 says, now therefore, there is no condemnation. It says there's no guilt or condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Oh God. It lets you know that, listen, you got all this wrestling, there's sin, there's grace, and there's a wrestling going on. And it says, therefore now there is no somebody say no condemnation. Yeah, I don't know if you know what condemnation means. Condemnation means you feel guilty and you can't get out of it. God says, listen, I know you're going to wrestle, you're going to fall, you're going to struggle, but when you get over to Romans chapter 8, he says, after all that stuff, he says, I need you to know that I know that when you fall, don't you ever get guilty about it. No, don't have a heart where you just do stuff because you want to do stuff. He says, but when you do the thing you don't want to do and you don't do the thing you want to do, he needs you to know that in that wrestling, I don't want you to feel bad in your struggle. He says, there's no guilt or condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And church, that's a shouting scripture right there, because I need to know that if I mess up, I can get up without feeling bad. I can get up without holding my head down. I can get up and go to church without trying to sit in the back and feel unholy. God said, there is no guilt or condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. That's why you got to go to a church who preaches grace to you. They're not preaching you going to hell. They're not preaching that because you messed up. They're preaching the grace of God's got your back if you are a child of God. Somebody say, there's no guilt or condemnation. No. I don't know if you get that. He says, there's no guilt or condemnation. Oh, that's good stuff. He says, after all, look at the setup of how Romans flows. After all the wrestling in your flesh, he says, I need you to be reminded that if you mess up, don't be guilty. So I asked myself, well, God, when I feel guilty, where is it coming from? He said, that's the devil. He's trying to put something on you Jesus took from you, and that's guilt. Because condemnation means I feel bad, and I'm at a dead end with nowhere to go with it. He says, I never gave you condemnation, I gave you conviction. Conviction means that when you do something, you get something inside that says, I'm not feeling good about what I'm doing. But then it gives you not a dead end, but it gives you a way out of it. Condemnation, there's no way out of the feeling. Conviction says there's a way out because you're reminded of the goodness of God. And when you're reminded of the goodness of God, he says it is love that causes people to turn and repent of their sins. It is the goodness of God that leads you to repentance. Because when you see there's a way out, you say, God, you made a way out of that situation for me, meaning you made a way out called grace. He says, when you see my goodness, it's my goodness that causes you to change from what you've been doing. That's why you got to go to a place where they're not condemning you, because condemning you does not help you get out of stuff. It does not help you get delivered from stuff. Telling you how bad you are does not help you to overcome your struggles. But when you remind somebody that God's made a way out, that God has forgiven you, it is the goodness of God that leads to repentance. Repentance means change. And when you tell people how much God loves them, that's what causes them to change, is when they're reminded of God's goodness, when they're reminded of how much he loves you. And then you step to get ready to do it again. You say, I can't break God's heart again. I can't do that to a God who's so loving. And that causes change in your life. Not when people tell you going to hell for smoking, you going to hell for drink, you going. Everybody want to put people in hell when I was growing up. When I was growing up, everybody was going to hell. I was like, the whole church going to hell. Where is there? Because everything people did, they were like, you're going to hell for that. You're going to hell for that. And what I realized is nobody really changed. Everybody just got more secret. We got more secretive. But what I realize is when you begin to tell them that, listen, God loves you. God, Jesus died for that thing. And when you see how good he is, the next time you do it, the wrestling gets greater. And like, why do I want to keep doing this to a God who's been so good? And you mess up and he says, I still love you. And the next time you get ready to do it, why do I want to keep doing this to a God that's been so good to me? And then you grow to a point and you say, God, I ain't even doing that no more because you've been too good to me. I love you so much. I'm turning from my ways and I'm walking the right path, not because you condemn me, but because you loved me. See, that's why I really believe you can love the hell out of people. You can love them so much that the things from hell in them will leave them. And this is what we've got to understand, that Romans 8 begins to tell us the power. That's why you can't mess Romans 8 up, because you begin to remind people of how good God's been. You begin to remind them of what God can do. And then you get down there, and then you pass forward. And then he goes over, he says, if God be for us. He says, if God be for us, who can be against us? God, church, now God done preached me from sin in chapter 1. Now telling me, if anybody's against you, I got you. He started me in chapter 1 telling me you are falling depravity over to a reprobate mind. But he says, now I'm back in chapter 1. He's given me, chapter 8, he's given me grace. He tried the law. He's tried all these things. And now he's picked me up so much. He says, if I be for you, who can be against you? I know you've messed up. I know you've had struggles. I threw grace at you. Now I need you to know, if I'm standing in your corner, who can be against you? I like this right here. God lets me know that if somebody say, if God is with me, it lets you know if he's with you, everything's going to be all right. He says, listen, he's confirming to you, if I got your back, who can be against you? Not what can be against you, who can be against you? God, if I had time to show you in Scripture, there's a whole bunch of who's in there. He never said what can be against you. He said who can be against you. Because your struggle is never a what, it's always a who. Even if it looks like a what, it's really a who somewhere. You know, most of people's problems, if they get around the right who, it can change your life. The reason why people struggle so much is they're around the wrong who's. Who's in your life? If you got the wrong who, you need to get rid of them before you cross over in 2020. Because it's not what's against you, it's who's against you. And that lets me know that our struggle is not a what, it's a who. And if it's not a physical who, we know it's a spiritual who. That it's a spiritual demonic force somewhere. Because sometimes it's people and then sometimes it's just the devil himself. And no matter if it's a substance abuse, it's really not the substance, it's really the spirit that's pushing the substance. That's why we bind the wrong stuff. People like, I bind that spirit of crack. It's not crack. It's a spirit behind the crack. It's everything. Listen, crack can't hurt you. Come on, somebody. It's the spirit that causes you to want that thing that you got to learn how to rebuke the who and not the what. God help me. And when we can figure out we got to get the right who's in our life, then life is going to be all right in 2020. Life is going to be great because I want you to realize, listen, when you get the right circle in your life, everything's going to change. Because who's can, come on, somebody say who's can mess you up. I don't know who that is for, but you need to get some who's right in your life. You need to shift some. You need to reshuffle the deck in 2020. Come on. You need to tell your kids you got to get the right who's. Come on. You can't go back to school with the wrong who's in your life. You got to shuffle the deck and be like, you need some new who's. You got to get the right people so you can have success in 2020. But we get so addicted to people, we don't know how to let them go. Come on, somebody. And God says, if I be for you. God, that makes me just want to run through a wall. And whenever you hear if God be for you, it usually causes you to go uphill. But if you really pause and think about it for a minute, those two words are still really problematic because it says if. The very words we get ready to tear a wall up with is really problematic. It didn't say God is for you. It says if. Hold up, God. Hold on. Wait a minute. If. Now, it's so amazing because we just preach it. If. Everybody just get excited. But if you stop for a moment, what you mean if? What you mean if? Because that can cause there to be a pause for a minute. Because if means that there are some people God ain't for. It said, if God be for you, who can be against you? Now, I have a problem with Paul because Paul wrote this, and Paul just got me all excited from chapter 1. I'm in over here in chapter 8 talking about there's no guilt, condemnation, and if God be for me, and then you put if in there. I'm all excited, and then you throw if. And a lot of times we miss this because we're so excited to shout about it. But because we understand that if he is what it means, but who's the if and who's missing out on the if? Because we get excited, but you got to ask yourself, am I the if? Or am I the who? He says, because if God be for you, who can be against you? And what I like about it is that right there is problematic to me because I can't live my life with an if. I can't go in 2020 with ifs. Come on. I can't go in 2020 talking about I've got this going on, but if God be for me, I can't live. I don't know. The only problem I have is I can't live my life with an if. I can't come through all the hell of 2019 and step into 2020 talking about if. That don't work for me. God, I can't start a business talking about if you with me. God, I can't go into hospital rooms in 2020 talking about if God is with me. God, I can't go and start laying hands on the sick talking about if God is with me. I can't start casting vision with if God is with me. I don't mind doing whatever God wants me to do in 2020. I don't mind jumping off a mountain in 2020. I don't mind going into the fire in 2020. I don't mind wherever I go in 2020. I'm willing to do it, but I need to know that you're with me. I cannot have an if you're with me. I need to have a concrete moment if I'm going into 2020 with confidence and boldness. I can't live my life with an if. I can't raise my kids with an if. I can't go through marriage with an if. I can't keep tithing and giving offerings with an if. I need to know that God is with me. And if I know he's with me, I'll do whatever you want me to do in 2020. I'll run through a wall. I'll run over a bull. I'll walk on glass for you. I'll jump through a building for you. Long as I know that you're with me and not if you're with me. Touch your neighbor, say, I need to know. Because if don't work for me crossing over, I've been through too much. I can't deal with no more. You don't know. Let me look back over 2019. No, I need to know going forward. I can't cross to wake up on the first time. If you with me, God. No. I need to know, God, that I crossed over and that you are for me. I need some concrete. I need some boldness. I need something that tells me that I know that I know that you know. The devil knows. We all know that you are with me. I don't know if I'm preaching to the right church, But I've been through too much to have an if in 2020. I've been through too much, somebody, if God be for me. I need to make sure I got this thing this morning. I need to know that if sickness comes in 2020, there ain't no if about it, baby. God is for me. There ain't no if I go through financial trouble, I can't have an if type of God. I need to have I know type of God. I can't live with an if. I need to know. My vision is too big for 2020. I'm tired of playing with the devil in 20. I can't deal with this stuff no more. I'm not crossing over to my if you're with me. I need concrete evidence to know that I know, so I can look every demon in the eye and tell them, you got to get the hell out, because God is with me. I look too many demons in the eyes to be playing with if. I look too many devils square in the face to be dealing with if. I need to know that my God is with me. I need to know he is for me. And Paul says, if. Dang, Paul, we messed this up. We're doing so good with this grace stuff. Such as they say, I need to know. I can't be dealing with this stuff in 2020. I got to know. Paul said, if. God be for you. Touch your neighbor and say, if ain't good. He says, if God be for you. Church, we got to have confidence. Lord begins to say they need confidence going into 2020. You need confidence, because when you're confident, you won't shake. You won't shake when you have confidence about you and your God. And the one thing God began to talk to me about, these five stones. Because stones are what gives you victory. If you read throughout the Bible, stones were bodacious things. Stones were these things that if you remember, stones is what gave David victory over Goliath. The Bible says that David had the stones that he threw at him. And see, God says, it's the stones that's going to give you confidence. Do you remember David got ready to fight Goliath, and Saul said, here, take my sword, take all my shield. David says, I'm good. He said, that ain't how I'm going to beat him. He says, I got a bag of stones. He walked out on the battlefield, and he had his stones. And when he had his stones, it was the stones that helped him get victory over David. And God says, tell them I got five stones that's going to help them get victory over their 2020. I got five stones that's going to help them to get victory when you cross over in 2020. If you remember the children of Israel, when they crossed from the wilderness, the Bible says when they were going into the promised land, that God rolled back the waters of the Jordan River. Not the Red Sea, the Jordan River. And when he rolled back the water of the Jordan River, the Bible says that he told them, when you cross through the Jordan River, he says, tell every man of every tribe to grab a stone. He said, make sure everyone gets a stone and get a stone that's so big. Watch what he says. He says they put it on their shoulder. Okay, you missed it. There's a lot of stones, but he said, get a big stone. You know, because what he says, watch what he says. Because he rolled the water back on the Jordan River, and they're crossing over from one side to the next side. And he says, when you go through it and you get to the other side, I need you to grab a stone, and don't take any stone. Take the biggest stone you can find. Take a stone you got to put up on your shoulder and walk with. He said, tell them to put it on their shoulder. And God began to tell me, he says, they could have grabbed any little stone. He says, but God's stones are big stones. They're victorious stones. Because really what he was saying is, when you go through something that they've been through, when you get from one side of the Jordan to the other side of the Jordan, make sure that you get something from what you've been through. And I came to tell somebody, as you cross over this year, I need you to get something from what you've been through this year. If you've been through anything in 2019 and you don't learn from it, you don't get something from it, your stones are too small, baby. You need to get some big stones from the big problems you had this year. Why would you get a small stone? Learn something from what you've been through. Every victory, every mistake, every situation, every incident, you got to get something big out of what you've been through. He didn't tell them, put a stone in your pocket. He said, get a stone so big. He said, put it on their shoulder. And I came to tell you, The stones of God are big. And God says there's four, five stones that qualify who is for you. He says there's five stones that qualify my people for the IF program. How do you know God is with you? He says, let me give us some concrete evidence. And when you look at the text, he gives us five major things. And if you look at them, it's amazing because in verse, if you could give me verse 29, let me show them to you real quick. Verse 29, if you could throw that up there for us. And give me my highlighted version. I gave you, thank you so much. Let me point them out to you. And then I'm going to preach them to you. It says, for those God foreknew, he also predestined. Okay, I like that right there. And then he says, those who predestined, give me verse 30. Watch what it says. He called. And whom he called, he justified. And who he justified, he glorified. Now I don't know if you caught all these. Four of the five, they had ED on the end. And I know in our society, don't nobody want ED. But let me help you. Touch my say, it's real life. It's real life. But you better thank God for this ED. Because this ED changed everything. I'm not really the smartest man on the planet. I'm sure y'all know that. That's been here for a while. My vocabulary is not the greatest. But at the same time, I'm smart enough to know that ED on the end of a word changes the dynamic of a word. ED means that it's past tense. ED means it's already done. He's not justifying. He's not glorifying. He justified. The Holy Spirit said, give them an ED situation. Put ED on it to let them know that everything God has done for them and the way God sees them is in a finished moment. He's not working on them. They're already finished in the eyes of God. Let me give you another ED. You remember on John 19:30 on the cross, Jesus' last word says, it is finished. He said, it's already done. Yeah, okay, let me come get you. I'm not sure if you're with me, because what that means is that when God sees you, he sees you done. Give me verse 29. Back that up. Because you need to understand that what God has already, and this is tough for us as believers, because it's hard for us, as spiritual as we are, and as much as we go to church, we struggle with this part of our walk. Is we struggle when we say things are finished, because we don't really understand the difference between time and eternity. And when we understand something, God is in eternity. Matter of fact, you may have some loved ones in eternity. And in eternity, everything is already done. In the realm of God, there is no progressing. It is. Okay. Let me work this. In the realm of eternity, there is no getting gray hair. There is no sagging body parts. There is no still learning. God is in the realm of eternity. Okay, I got to get you there. Okay. If you remember when Moses had an encounter with God, he met God, and God said, go do all this, tell Pharaoh all this stuff, and he said, hey, hold up, who can I tell him is sending me? Who are you? God said, oh, tell him I am is sending you. Because Moses didn't know who he was. He says, hey, you're telling me to go tell Pharaoh to let all these people go and stuff, but I need to know who's sending me. What's your name? He said, oh, tell him I am. God says, I am. He didn't say, I was. I'm going to be. I am. Meaning God says, I'm a God who didn't just get here. I've been here. I'm not growing. I'm not developing. I'm a God who is, I like it because he's the Alpha and the Omega, the author and the finisher, all at the same time. Okay.
He finishes it as he begins it because he's I am. And in the realm of where God is at, there is no, I don't know if you know this, whenever you see God, God never is still growing. Your God is never learning something else. God never had a moment where he said, uh-oh, I didn't see that. God never said, this just occurred to me. Because he is I am. He's in a state of being where everything is already done in God. Okay, this is tough. Because we live in time. And in time, we are in a place where we are trying to walk through things that are in eternity, they're already finished. And so our struggle sometimes is understanding when God says, I see you as a finished work, we wrestle with it because we're not in the spirit realm in eternity. We are in time. We're in the realm of time. So we got to walk through the stuff. And this is where the process of humanity, you have to get certain confidence about your God, because that's why you feel clueless about 2020 at times. But God is confident about 2020 because he's the author and the finisher all at the same time. See, we go into places, we wake up tomorrow like, what's tomorrow going to hold? What's tomorrow going to be like? And we're walking through it cluelessly. But watch what the Bible says. That in the realm of eternity, God has already seen your entire life. Say with me. I'm going to get there quickly, but I got to get you to get this. God has seen your entire life already. He's walked through coming out the womb to entering into heaven. And what's amazing is the Bible says in verse 26, let me teach this to you for a moment. You got to get this. It says, watch what it says. Go to verse 26. Watch what it says. Likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. This is talking about the Holy Spirit. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Watch what it says here. Now he searches the hearts, knows what the mind of the Spirit is. Watch what he says. He says the Holy Spirit knows the mind of the Spirit. Meaning, the Holy Spirit dwells and lives inside of each and every one of us. Stay with me. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man what God has for them. He says, but it's revealed to him through the Holy Spirit. God help me. Stay with me. In eternity, God's seen everything. In time, we're walking stuff out. But watch what God says. The Holy Spirit has seen everything in your life. The Holy Spirit, who's part of the Godhead, has seen your end from your beginning with God the Father. So he says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard what God has planned for them. He says, but it's revealed to them by the Spirit that lives inside of them. Stay with me. That means if you want to know your future, you learn your future from inside out, not outside in. Because the Holy Spirit has seen your beginning and the end, and God has given you the Holy Spirit. So when you want to know something about yourself, you don't need validation from somebody. You get validation from the Holy Spirit that's seen the end from the beginning and the beginning from the end. Okay. Your greatest friend in 2020 is going to be the Holy Ghost. That's why people mess me up trying to go to these Ouija boards and astrology and all this demonic foolishness. If you're a child of God, stop it. Knock that foolishness off. You don't need to go to some psychic, some witch doctor, some Ouija board, astrology, tumbai. I'm an Aries. I'm a Virgo. You better leave that foolishness alone. Only thing you need to know is talk to the Holy Ghost. Holy Spirit, I don't know what 2020 has, but you're inside of me, and you've seen the beginning from the end and the end from the beginning, and I can go forward trusting you. Although I'm in time, you're in eternity and time, and you can bring me to where I need to be. You don't need your mama. You don't need your daddy. You don't need your ex-wife, your ex-husband. Nobody needs to validate you. Your pastor don't need to validate you. But the Holy Spirit on the inside, if you talk to him just a little bit, you'll know everything you need to know about what God has for you in 2020. Touch your neighbor and say, you ain't got to be clueless. You just got to start living inside out, church. You just got to start living inside out. He said, no eye has seen, because we're not on that realm. No ear has heard, because we're not in that realm. No man knows or has it entered into your heart, because you're not in that realm. He says, but it's revealed to them by the Spirit that lives in them, which is the Holy Ghost. And this is why I've been preaching on them Wednesday nights, and I've been adding it to my sermons. If you aren't talking to the Holy Spirit in 2020, you need to restart all your plans. You need to start from scratch. If there's any type of I'm going to change something in January, it better be walking and talking to the Holy Spirit every day. Every day. Let me say it like I really feel it. Not every, you better wake up, Holy Spirit, come on. Because God is giving you the Holy Spirit to get through your day, to get through your struggles, to get through your tomorrow, because he already seen what's already coming. See, God, I wasn't trying to teach this, but watch this, I'm right here, let me push through it because it's there. Watch what he says. He says, in the same Spirit helps us in our weakness. What's your weakness? A lot of times we give that to our flesh as our weakness. Here's our weakness. We don't know what tomorrow holds. It literally tells us in the next verse, it means a lot. Yes, he helps us in our flesh weakness, but here's your main weakness, is it's finished in eternity, but I'm in time. So my weakness is I don't know what tomorrow has, and that's why the Bible says we do not know what to pray. Because I don't know what tomorrow holds, so how do I know what to pray? And we thought that's always just flesh issues. No, our weakness is I don't know tomorrow, so I don't really fully know how to pray. I'm at a disadvantage because I really can't see what tomorrow is bringing. And he says, but you ain't got to worry about it, because the Holy Spirit is praying for you, because he's seen everything already. So while you don't know what to pray, he's standing over your bed while you sleep. He's making intercession, talking about, I'm praying that car is going to miss him. I'm praying that their child is going to be all right. You sleeping, but he's praying on your behalf. He's praying on your behalf in your weakness because you don't know. But the Bible says the Holy Spirit, who knows tomorrow from the end and the end from tomorrow, he's praying so you can make it in your destiny. Touch your neighbor, say, that's a good word. Isn't it amazing that we don't talk to the Holy Spirit? You need to put that number one on your New Year's resolution. It ain't just talking to the Father. It ain't just lifting up our Savior. You got to integrate the Holy Spirit in your life. Some of our failures in 2019 has been because the Holy Spirit hasn't been in your life. The Holy Spirit is living in you and knows what your hour from now is going to be. He knows your month from now is going to be. He already seen every trick of the devil, and he needs you to invite him in your life. Come on, somebody. But watch this right here. How does this, Pastor, connect with giving me confidence? Because in verse 29, if you could throw it up there, he says this, and I got to get you. Let me give you these five stones real quick. He says, here's how you can be confident, because he's talking to people who God, who are believers. Watch what he says. He helps us in our weakness. He says he knows what to pray, and he's talking about people who God foreknew. Everybody say foreknew. The first stone is foreknew. Foreknew means that God knew beforehand. He knew ahead of time. I'm going to build your concrete. I'm going to give you a stone that's going to help you in 2020. It's not going to be if God is for you. You're going to know God is for you. And one of the first ones I want to give you, Paul gives us, we shout about it, but then he begins to give us how we can be confident about it. How do I step into 2020 with so much confidence I make the devil nervous? Is I grab this stone called foreknew. Everybody say foreknew. That means God foreknew everything about me before I ever got here. Okay, how does this help you? Here, because if anybody's lived just a little bit here, when anybody's ever told you, I love you, they don't necessarily always mean they love you. Okay, some of y'all like, yep. Rest of y'all like, I ain't saying nothing, because they might be on this roll right now. I ain't saying jack. but hear this real quick. I got to give you these real quick. Foreknew simply means, see, and that's a reality, is because we've had people say, you know, I love you. And what they really mean is, I love you based on what I know about you up until this point. If you've ever had a relationship, I love you, I love you, I love you, that meant they loved you based on now and everything else that I know about you up until that point. They loved you based on past knowledge, but they didn't really remember that you might change and shift going forward. There might be some separated and divorced folk that can say amen to that. That they said, I love you, or you had a relationship. And I'm not knocking people. I want you to stay with me. I've heard people tell Lady Brian, we love you. We love you. We're going to be with you forever. And 3 months later, they're gone. Meaning what they meant, nothing wrong with it. What they meant in their heart is we love you based on everything we know about you right now and what I know about your past. But they didn't know next month I was going to preach something that they weren't going to like. They didn't know how crazy I was as God keeps anointing me and I say what the Holy Spirit puts in me and I'm not afraid to make anybody mad. I just say what God has for me and it might mess up what they really believe on the inside and then they're like, I don't love you no more. But when they said they love me based on everything they knew in my past. But I got a little funny for them in the future and now they're not with me. Because they love me based off past knowledge. But God is not like that. God said, I foreknew you. Okay, okay. He says, God, this gives me confidence to put in my pocket to know that God says, I love you based on your whole life. I already know everything about you. Okay, okay. God says, not just on now when you repent it, but I see your future and your falls and your flaws because I've seen the beginning from the end and the end from the beginning. And the Bible says he foreknew me. Watch this right here. That means God loved you before you ever mess up in 2020. God loved you before you ever fall in 2020. God loves you before you say the wrong thing in 2020. God loves you before your next horrible act in 2020. God loves you before you ever had the opportunity to breathe on this earth. He says, I love you with foreknowledge before you ever messed up. How does that help you? Because when you mess up in 2020, and you will, I don't know what degree, but the Bible says we are all sinful people. That means you might say the wrong thing. You might do the wrong thing. You might go to the wrong place. But God says, I need you to know I love you anyway. I foreknew you. I seen everything you thought you could throw this life. You can't mess up big enough for me to throw you away in 2020. And you need to get that stone in your pocket and say, devil, if I trip up in February, God foreknew it was going to happen. And if he foreknew me, he loved me before I messed up. And I need to keep reminding myself that God knew everything about me before it even came to pass. Somebody say he foreknew me. Yeah, I like it because he loved me based off foreknowledge, not based off past knowledge. That's what man does. Man loves you based off foreknowledge. Watch what it says here. Because, you know, it's amazing because he says, I foreknew. Because isn't it amazing? Watch this. People love you so much. Until you change your hair next week. Dare you to change your hair color next week. Then people are going to be looking at you sideways. Because you are subject to change. You are subject not to be holy every day. You are subject not to say the right things every day. You are subject not to just keep walking right every day. I'm not trying to preach you to do wrong. I'm trying to preach you to be able to pick yourself up if you stumble. I need you to understand if you change your hair color, he's all right. If you change your vocabulary in the heat of the moment next year, God says, I already knew it was coming. If you just happen to do the wrong thing when you didn't want to do the wrong thing in that struggle thing, he says, I need you to know I already knew and I loved you before you ever did it. Because in humanity, you're subject to have change moments. Then watch what he says. Then he says, those he foreknew, he predestined. He predestined. Predestined are really two words that don't make sense. Really one word that are two words that make absolutely no sense. He says, those that he foreknew, that he saw and loved ahead of time, watch what he says. He says, I loved you. before you ever messed up. And he says, when I loved you, I predestined you. And when you think about it, Kevin, pre and destined don't go together. That's oil and water, but God made it happen. Pre means beginning, destiny means end. God, how can you predestine me? How you begin me and end me? Predestined means, he says, not only did I love you, but I need to give you another stone that we touched on a little bit early. He said, but I'm going to make it clear that I've already preed your end from the beginning. That's why it's called predestined. Meaning that, watch this here, that God starts the movie at the end of the movie. When you step into heaven, God says, this is where I'm going to start the movie. And when you got into heaven, because he foreknew you, he said, let me start the movie. And he backed into your life. He backed into the life. However years it is, until the rapture comes. Everybody say, till the rapture comes. He starts when you got raptured up by faith. And he gets all the way back into your mama's womb. And then he starts walking it out with you. God help me. Meaning he destined you at the beginning. God help me. You're missing it. You're missing it. Meaning he made sure, predestined, that you get to a certain place in life no matter what happens in life. How do you predestine God? He says, here's how predestined works. He says, because I loved you so much before you got here. He said, I got to the end. I'm in heaven when you got here. And I'm walking back. When you went through this and you went through that, I'm walking back. I moved this. I shuffled that. I'm walking back. I'm shuffling this. This happened and that happened. This happened and this happened and that happened and this happened. And now I'm back in mama's womb. Watch what happens. And now you come out going forward with no idea what's in front of you. And watch what God says. And when Jesus makes the, when the Bible makes these bold declarations, now I understand it. He says, all things work together for my good. What you mean, God? He says, because I've already walked through that pain. I already walked through that exciting moment. I already walked through that demoralizing situation. I already walked through that tragedy. I already walked through that heartbreak. I've already walked through this moment, and I made sure that everything that happened to you is going to work to the good, and no matter what happens, you're still going to get where I destined you to be. No matter who leaves you, you're still going to be where you went through. No matter who comes in your life, they're not going to stop you. No matter how many enemies come, I've destined you to get the job. Even if you're getting laid off, I've destined you to get the money. I've already made sure that you get to where I want you to be. The devil can huff, puff, and blow, but he can't stop you from getting what God has for you because God already walked it out. You can't even mess it up. You might thought you were going to take the short route, but God says, I got a long route. You thought it was going to be the long route, but God said, I got a short route because all things work together for the good of those that God. Somebody shout hallelujah. Predestined means no matter what happens, you're going to get there. No matter what, you said I was arrested and got a record. God said, I don't care about that record. I didn't tell you you need to have a clean record. God says, I can take that situation and I'll work it out for your good and you'll still be a businesswoman. You'll still be a businessman. You still got the calling on your life because I make everything work together for your good. You can't stop but to get to what God has for your life. He predestined. He destined in pre. He made sure that you're going to get there. And the thing about it is we look at our life and we're like, oh, man, I messed up. I got a bankruptcy. I'm not going to be able to get it. God said, quit tripping. You've been predestined. I just got laid off. Man, I'm not going to get what God told me I can have. Quit tripping. He predestined you. That's why I can look at everything. See, that's why when you see Jesus in the Bible, we always thought because he was Jesus, he was so comfortable in things. Every storm he was in, he was asleep. I'm like, what you sleeping for, bro? I mean, Jesus, you are human in the, you know, Jesus, come on. It is a storm. Water's coming in a boat. He's asleep. Well, it's because he's hyperstatic. He's all human, but he's all God. God says, nope. He's predestined, and he understands that. It's not because he was God he was asleep in the boat. He understood predestined while the storm was happening. Meaning that when storms come, I already know I'm going to get where I need to go anyway. So why would I stay up tripping when everything's predestined? So the storm is raging. Why am I stressing? Because what's going to happen? God done worked it out anyway. So why do we have so many people when we go through stuff, we're in panic mode and I can't do that. And water's coming on the boat. Jesus slipping. Jesus like, do you think God's going to take me out now after all I've been through? I ain't going out like that, devil. In 2020, I'm going to keep living. In 2020, all things working. I'm not tripping when a storm comes because everything is going to work out for me anyway. And we got stressful Christians. Come on, somebody. Tell somebody, say, stop stressing in 2020. Because you've been predestined. And the Bible says that if you're predestined, you got to understand the stress does not belong to you. Because if I'm predestined, then I've got to know that whatever I'm going through, that's why God says, just be still. Why are you stressing so much? He already worked it out. And you just trust the Holy Spirit and the stones that you have this confidence in. If I'm predestined, all is good right now. I just got to keep going to know that when something comes wrong in my life, it ain't going to take me out. Because if God be for me, it's going to work out. The third thing he says, watch what he says. He says that he says they're cold. I like it because if you're watching the progress, he says, those he foreknew, he says, I loved you. He says, then I loved you before anything. So since I loved you, I predestined. I made sure you're going to get where you need to go. The third thing he said, those he predestined, he called. Not he's calling, he's called. What does that simply mean? And let me get there. It simply means that he chose you. Not that he already chose you. And that's big because God says, listen, I could have chose anybody. But I chose you. And this might not be a stone for everybody, but it's a stone for somebody. Because there are some Davids in here who your father and people didn't choose you in life. And there are David, you remember his father, David, the young stone thrower, David, the prophet came and he said, hey, bring me all your sons. And his dad brought all the sons that he thought should be chosen. But God said, I didn't choose them. I called David. And what I came to tell somebody is it may look like you're going to be overlooked in 2020. But I need you to know, God says, I called you. I chose you. When I was picking teams in the zillion of people on earth, I said, not them, I want that one. And God needs you to know with every little idiosyncrasy in your life, I chose you. And when you stop feeling like you're not good enough in 2020, God said, I chose you. I knew you. I chose you. When picking teams, he said, I know it didn't feel good. Come on. When they were picking teams and you were the last one left and they didn't really choose you, you were a leftover. But God said, there ain't no leftovers, baby. I chose you. And when you feel like you've been neglected, and you feel like you've been overlooked, and you feel like you've missed it every time, and everybody's one step ahead, I need you to step back and realize that God said those he foreknew he predestined, and whom he predestined he called, and he chose you already. He knew you were going to have hiccups. He knew you couldn't speak well, but he chose me to preach anyway. He knew I couldn't put my words together good, but he chose me anyway. He chose you with your struggles. He chose you with your idiosyncrasy. Don't let the devil make you feel bad. I know daddy molested you. I know you went through a rape. I know you had the abortion, but God chose you anyway. I don't care what you've been through. He chose you. You didn't graduate. He chose you. You don't have a degree. He chose you. Touch yourself and say, he chose me. Don't touch your neighbor. This was for you. Touch it and say, he chose me. He chose her to be the first lady. He chose you to be who you were. He chose you. You're not where you are because of somebody. You're there because God chose you. And that helps some people who struggle with, am I good enough? And man, if you can get that stone, it'll change your life. Watch this. He says, then I chose you. He says, those I foreknew, I predestined. And who I predestined, I called. And who I called, watch this, I justified. God help me. This is good right here. Watch what he says. He says, now that I've called you, I'm finna make you right. He said, I loved you. I planned you. Now, I called you to be the one who I walked that plan out. I chose you to be the one to come out. Because how many know it could have been a zillion other sperms, but he chose you. He walked that thing backwards and said, which one wanted to be? Can they handle that? Yep. Chose that one. You made it. Y'all laughing, but that's how heaven worked. Because I always wondered, how did I get chosen out of all them billions of sperm? God looked like, give me that joker right there for this assignment. Give me the funny one right there. He said, I chose you out of all of them. God chose you. You hear what I'm saying? He chose you. He chose you to walk through the heartache. He chose you to go through what you went through. Because he knew you can handle it. And when you handle it, he says, this is what I'm going to do. What the devil did to them, I'm going to make them better through it. I'm going to make them stronger through it. And that pain will be their platform. He said, I chose them because I know they'll be faithful through it. He says, and now I chose them, I need to justify them. I need to make them fit for the bill. See, justify means, he said, those he called, he justified. Which simply means if he justifies you, what it really means he made you right. Because I don't know if you know this, is that Romans 1 told us we were all messed up. And God, all these things he's foreknew and he's predestined and he called a bunch of mess. He says, now they're a mess and I know it. Now I got to justify them. I got to justify why I can heal them. I got to justify why they can open their mouth and speak to mountains. I got to justify how they're going to get in heaven. He says, because they don't qualify for heaven, but I got to justify them for the grace and the favor I'm about to release on their life. Because what that means, if whenever you go into a legal system in the courts of our world, you know, when you go to, they say that you are innocent. Oh, y'all been to jail? Okay. That's they knew that well. They were like, yep. No. So they're like, yeah, man, I caught a case. You too. You didn't know we all been there. Amen. Okay, watch this. They say we are innocent until proven guilty. And when you overcome in court, you walk out of there victorious. You walk out really a conqueror. You're like, I conquered the case. And when you came into court, you were innocent until they tried to prove you guilty. But when you walk out, guess what? You conquered. You got victory. And that's an amazing thing. If you, I'm not saying, you know, beat a case, but I'm saying that's the favor of God. I don't care how it works. Somebody say, I'm a conqueror. You just lied to yourself. Because the Bible says we're more than a conqueror. See, if you win in a case in court, you're a conqueror. But God says you're not a conqueror. The Bible says it, when you read it sometime in 2020, it says, you're more than a conqueror. God says, son, tell them this. He says, they're more than a conqueror because when I justify them, that's what it means. It means that when you go into the court system in the realm of time, you are innocent until proven guilty. But in the realm of heaven, you stepped into God's court and you were guilty. You weren't innocent when you went in there. God says you were guilty of sin. You were guilty of everything you did in this flesh. He says, but I found a man who says, I'll step in their place. And you were guilty when you came in, but you were innocent when you walked out. Okay. In time, you step into a court, you're innocent until proven guilty. But with God, you were guilty until proven guilty. Okay, God help me. Because you were guilty, but Jesus stepped in and said, I'll pay the price. God says, wait a minute, I need to justify this situation. He says, I know, I'm trying to help you, God. He says, I'll pay the price for them. Are you sure you're going to take the price? He says, yes, I'll pay the price. They are justified, meaning that we are able to walk with our head up, meaning we qualify for favor. We qualify for the goodness of God, not because of what we are, but because of what he did for us. We were guilty in front of God, but Jesus made us stand innocent in front of God. And church, don't you ever forget it. You were guilty in front of God. You were were dead to right guilty, but Jesus says, I'll take their price for them. I'm going to justify them. I'm going to make them legal to receive healing. I'm going to make it legal for them to be able to speak to mountains. I'm going to make it legal for you to release your favor on them, because it was not legal for God to give us what we have until Jesus justified. And now that I'm justified, I don't care if I got haters hating on the favor on my life. I've been justified to heaven. You may not think I'm qualified, but I've been justified. Jesus did it for me. I like it. I like it. God says, when people say, why you got that position, it's because I've been justified. When they say, why are you up there with the calling and the anointing, it's because I've been justified. I didn't do it. I was guilty like you, but Jesus justified. He qualified me for favor. He qualified me for breakthrough. He qualified me to receive healing. He qualified me to live a long life, not because of me, but because he justified. And in 2020, when you don't feel you deserve something, it's not just because he chose you, because you'll say, I don't deserve it. You got to understand, you're right, but he justified it. If sickness tries to come, here's how you win that fight. I've been justified for healing. Well, you remember what you did in 2019? You remember what you did yesterday? You're going to die. The devil is a lie. I've been justified. I'm qualified for healing. It's illegal for me to be sick in my body. He took sickness away. I've got a court order that says I am the healed of the Lord. Did you know it's illegal for you to be sick? You've been justified from sickness. He took it from you on Calvary. You deserve sickness with fallen nature, but you've been justified. And not only have you been justified, here's what I like. Because when you're guilty in court, like we were guilty in court, if you ever found guilty, guess what? You got a criminal record. You might pay the price, but it follows you everywhere you go. And you can't get, they say you can't get a job. It follows you, and people know. But Jesus says, listen, not only did I justify them, but I cleaned their record. We ain't even talking about it in heaven no more. The Father ain't even remembering that foolishness no more. He has already erased my sins as far as the east is from the west. And I ain't got time to be talking about what I've been justified from. It's already taken from me. You keep bringing up foolishness. Me and God don't even remember this. I've moved on from my mistakes. I've moved on from my issues. He didn't just justify me, but he's expunged my record. I don't even know what you're talking about. Move on. I'm not the woman with the issue of blood. I'm just a woman of God who he healed. I'm not blind Bartimaeus. I'm just a man who's been, because when he justified me, he cleaned my record. I got to raise up on this last stone. And he said, watch this, now that I justified you, he said, those he foreknew, he predestined. Whom he predestined, he called. And whom he called, he justified. And whom he justified, watch this, he glorified. Okay, I got to go. I got to go. I justified you. Stay with me. I've glorified you. You got to make sure you get this. Because when you talk about glory, it's a mega word to break down. When you talk about glory in the Bible, the glory of the Lord, the glory of God, it means a lot. One of the main things it means weight. Glory means weight. When you talk about the glory is in the house, we're talking about the weight of God's in the house. It's heavy. The glory, when people say, glory literally means weight. And the Bible says, now that he's justified you, watch this, now that he's made you justified, made you right, watch what he says, now I'm going to glorify you. Okay. Glorified simply means the weight of God. And if you, and what, it, when we talk about the weight, here it is, when you talk about the weight of something, you talk about heaven backing you now. Okay. Do you remember the first man, Adam? The Bible says God blew in his mouth. And God said to Adam, watch what he said. Watch it very carefully. Right there in Genesis, he says, whatever you call it, that's what it's going to be. Any Bible readers know, he says, whatever you say it is, it's going to be. That means that Adam had the glory of heaven backing him. He didn't just come out speaking. God says, I'm giving you this permission and this glory meaning I am backing you up. You have the weight of heaven. Whatever comes out of your mouth, it shall be. Adam could not do that if God's glory was not crowned on him. And when Adam fell, he lost his glory. Okay, because when he fell, that's why Adam walked around and watch what he was saying. You're going to be a roach. And guess what? It's still a roach. Adam said, you're going to be shark. And guess what? It's still a shark. He named every living creature because he had the weight of heaven on him. The glory of God was on him. Heaven was backing everything that came out of his mouth. And it wasn't because he was Adam. He had the glory of God. And God says, whatever you say, not what I say, whatever you say. God help me. He said, you name it. You open your mouth. You do it. And when Adam was naming stuff, watch this. He was throwing his weight around. See, okay, that might help you. Some of y'all got it. You ever have a boss or a manager, and they throwing their weight around? Do this, do that, do this. And you know why people got to do it? Because they have the backing of the company. And you know they just throwing their weight around. Because they know they are backed by somebody, and that somebody's giving them some weight, some clout, and when they say something, everybody's got to follow it, not because of them, but because they have weight behind them. And now the Bible says Adam had that same weight, and he was throwing it around. You're an elephant. You're a monkey. And the monkey's like, I don't want to be a monkey. Your name monkey. Come on, somebody. He's like, I'm throwing my weight around. You look like a monkey. You're going to be monkey. Come on. And he's throwing his weight around because heaven backed him. But when he fell, watch this, we no longer were justified. We no longer qualified for glory. And God says, now that I foreknew who I predestined, who I called, now I'm justifying you. Now I'm justifying you. I'm going to give you glory back. Because the Bible says when Adam fell, watch your Bible, all men have sinned. There it is. And they come short of the glory of God. When Adam sinned, he came short of the glory of God. It's right there in your Bible. And now he lost his glory. So when he opened his mouth to name something, it was like, who are you talking to? You don't have heaven backing you no more. You lost that privilege, humanity, with the fall of heaven, with the fall of Adam. So when you open your mouth, the devil just wink at you and be like, back up. Because you don't have anything backing you. But now you've been justified because of Jesus. Jesus says, wait, I made them right from the fall of Adam. They were guilty and they came short of the glory of God. But now they're justified. I'm about to give them their glory back. So now that you got your glory back, God is not trying to give you glory. You've been glorified. That means now you've been justified. You can open your mouth in 2020 and everything you speak to, it's got to obey you. Everything you look at, it better hear what heaven is saying because you got your backing back. You got your glory back. You got your weight back. And you better tell the devil, get the hell out of my 2020 because here I come. Cancer, get out the way. Debt, get out the way. Depression, get out the way. Anxiety, get out the way. I'm having a great year. I got my glory back. And when I open my mouth, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. When you bind it, it shall be bound. When you loose it, it shall be loose. When you speak to it, it's got to go because you got your glory. God said, we need to throw our weight around in 2020. You need to throw your weight around in 2020. You're praying to God. God says, stop praying to me and start throwing your weight around. Tell it what to do. Tell it how it's going to look. Speak to it. And when you do it, it's going to happen because you've been glorified. Somebody shout hallelujah. Stand to your feet. We got to go. You got your glory back. You got your glory back. You ain't getting it back. You got it. You just got to be reminded that you got your glory back. Shift me out of that. Shift me out of that. Shift me out of that. Shift me quickly out of that. You got your glory back. Hear me. Hear me. You got your glory back. You got your glory back. There you go. You got your glory back. He justified you, And you got to be reminded you're justified so you can have confidence that you got weight behind you.